The DS-106 Good Spell.
Good spell, with John and Marianne, a good spell. It's off and on and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS-106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go on, give them a tweet. The DS-106 Good Spell Show.
Just a huge thanks to Viv and David for that wonderful bumper. This is the DS-106 Good Spell Episode 4. Mantras and Koans that delve into the open online course, DS-106. Tonight we'll continue to look at Marianne Funes's 106 bullet points. My name's John Johnson, and missing from the live action is Mariana. Mariana and Anne Levine and Rochelle Lockridge are all heading at the moment towards Open ER 14 at Newcastle to do some presentation about Rochelle's adaptation of DS-106 to a slightly more closed environment. I guess Mariana's pretty busy. A couple of weeks ago we recorded some shows, so I'm going to cue one of those up in a minute. This show comes from the bullet Alan says it's more about curiosity than explanation. He also says he stole that from somebody else but can't remember who. The theme of the show is ideas are shared, talked about, unpacked. The aim is not explanation, but shared curiosity. Have a listen, see what you think. Good evening, Colin. And tonight, it's more about curiosity than explanation. Mariana, can you explain that?
It was lovely starting to do a bit of reminding myself about this bullet because it was really something that Alan said as feedback really to something that I had done, and I thought it was it was just really lovely to remember what it was. And one of the things that when we were doing design we talked about a lot was this idea of what is it that you're trying to do when you're making art. And is it about explaining ideas, or is it about just asking questions and leaving things open for whoever is viewing, listening to what you're doing, to make their own sense of what goes on? And I think this is what he meant when he talked about curiosity and explanation. And hopefully we'll talk a bit more about the story behind that. So that's the idea behind this one.
So I'm quite surprised that this more about curiosity than explanation, because I know Alan has quite rightly called me out occasionally on the blog because I have posted something with very little explanation, and he's come in and said, you need to actually tell me a wee bit more about that. You need to explain what you're doing, or talk about the method, or what's the story here. So sometimes he's looking for explanation, and sometimes he says it's more about curiosity. So can you maybe dig into that a wee bit more, Mariana?
Yes, and what this came from? It's a quote that he told me. He said, and I think I've got that from somewhere else, somebody else, but he couldn't remember where. And then we talked about this and where it had come from. And it's a book which I am now about to try and find. Basically, it's a book about creativity, and the book talks about how often what we're trying to do isn't necessarily. Here we go. There it is. I knew I had the name of the book. It's Stephen Johnson, Where Ideas Come From: The Natural History of Innovation. And I've managed to find, before we started this, I managed to find a couple of quotes from the book. So it says how good ideas may not want to be free, but they do want to connect, fuse, and recombine. So, you know, he talks about the idea that, you know, legendary innovators like Franklin, Snow and Darwin all possess some common intellectual qualities, a certain quickness of mind and unbounded curiosity. But they also share one another's defining attributes. They have a lot of hobbies. Anyway, the idea behind all of this is that whatever happens and whatever is going on, you need to be, you know, curious about mm-hmm. about it. In the context of feedback to me, which I think is where it was interesting, because he has, I think, a great gift, Alan does, at being able to offer feedback in ways that people can hear it,
yeah.
Is because of my background, I tend to spend a lot of time explaining ideas and really leaving very little for the reader to guess. And this feedback was in response to, you remember when we were doing the minimalist posters?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, and when we were having to create, a poster that, in three or four symbols, told about a movie.
Right, the four
you
icon.
Remember that?
The four icon, yeah. Assignment. Yep.
That's right. That one. It was in response to this, because one of the things that so for me this is a big challenge, because of course I am having to express in a kind of minimalist way what might be the essence of something with no words, no anything, just a few symbols, and it was in response to this that he said it's more about curiosity than explanation. Mm-hmm. So I had several goes at this poster, and at some point I sent this tweet to Alan, and I said with a photo of the poster as I tried to improve it, and I said, "Is this better?" Clearly hoping you will say yes, but I can take it. But I can take it if you say no, and I've sent him the thing, and then he responds, "What I say does not matter." But yes, I do like it. It invites curiosity rather than explanation, which is sort of samurai thing.
Okay, that's about the actual piece.
Yes.
Yeah. It's about curiosity. And then if you blog that, he would expect you to do some filling in, maybe
exactly.
No explanation, but maybe talking about where it's coming from or where it's going or practically how you did it.
Yes, which of course, you know, actually I did. I did dig out my post on this. It's been really so wonderful to be doing this, because I'm reminded of things that I've done a long time ago and thinking, oh yes, I remember, and I remember where I started and what I was struggling with. And yes, absolutely, the post is actually really quite long. And in fact, one of the comments that he makes is, you're maybe spending a bit too long talking about what you're doing. You know, get on with it and learn how to use Photoshop better.
That's a rub, I suppose. I've always found Photoshop fairly challenging.
This is my take on it. He never said that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was more in relation to that, and I think the key thing for me in this is that what he actually did the first time around when he was trying to help me get this idea of what we're trying to do with this type of artifact was that he took what I'd done and he made it better.
Yeah.
So he actually had a go. He had a go, and he said, "You know, I didn't have enough material, as it were, because he only had what I had posted. But I tried to do this just to give you an idea of what I mean."
Mm-hmm.
And then I went away, and I had a go, you know, again and again, just to try and improve it. Which for me also highlights this whole thing about, you know, modeling feedback and how to help other people learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one place that DS-106 is or has been very lucky in that the people who have led various courses have all, in different ways, been great at providing feedback and putting an incredible amount of effort into engagement. And I think that's maybe where it differs from some other online courses. It doesn't just rely on participants working together as in a big MOOC. The instructors are very engaged and very skillful, in different ways, in drawing things out and helping you along, and getting over various bumps in the road. They could be just very practical, like somebody will just step in and show you how to do something or point you to an explanation. Mm-hmm. But I think also the sort of challenge role that they can take sometimes, which very often is, you haven't told me enough about this in this post. Can you dig into that more? Or, you know, what does this mean? And questions like that. But they seem to manage to put it in a way that I've never felt under any strain or any need to take up their suggestion unless I've got the time to do it, sort of thing, you know.
I think we're also touching on something that is very important, which is that, you know, when you think about feedback and you think about offering students feedback that they can hear, you may say the, you know, contradictory things to people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can use you and me as an example, I would say that, you know, for you, writing long posts with lots of explanations isn't something that you could be accused of doing. would that be accurate? Would that be fair?
I'm cut to the quick. I would say on my DS106 blog, I am the soul of brevity, I think. Occasionally I've written long things, but not often.
So I would say, I think that, you know, then what we are showing is, of course, sometimes it depends on the individual and it depends on what and what people like Alan and, you know, others are trying to do, is to say, actually, what is it that you specifically may need to do a bit more of in order to, you know, to take your learning forward. And I guess in your case, it might be unpack more. Like, for example, I remember when you did this post where you talked about your thinking around animated GIFs, and it was just a beautiful thing, because you know, it was lovely to get a sense for your thinking behind something. Now, if I'm being offered feedback for the stuff that I do, you get plenty of my thinking, but perhaps not enough of the, you know, work on the technical elements of things, so that you understand actually, which has been a big learning for me, so that you understand actually what do we mean by art. You know, an art isn't always let's just explain everything. Sometimes it's just that you throw something in and you let people unpack it for themselves and even question and wonder what on earth something means. And I think that is one of the things that, you know, our conversation today is highlighting, that there is a gift, I think, when you're involved in teaching this kind of thing, in tailoring, that's the word I've been looking for, tailoring the feedback that you offer so that it can enhance the learning, and it'll be different for different people, which is where ex-MOOCs sometimes have a bit of a problem when they have a blanket approach to everything.
Yeah, and I think actually that problem can be shared by C-MOOCs, because the people, you need a certain number of people with these skills, and if you're relying relying on a community. And I think, I think again, DS106, because there is a mirroring, there's the ability for us to mirror the leaders of the community, that you'll get people who are in the course who are very good at putting constructive feedback, and because the people who have led various bits of the course have set a certain standard for commenting, then I certainly feel if I'm commenting in somebody's post on their blog, I mean, if I'm putting out a tweet or something, I'm just saying, oh, that's great. But if I put something in their blog post, I want to add something to it or discuss it. I think in your notes for this show, you wrote down as a theme, ideas are shared, talked about and unpacked. The aim is not explanation, but shared curiosity. And I think that's a really interesting way to think about it. It's this idea of shared curiosity, which probably leads us on to our next episode, because that sort of links into the playfulness we'll be exploring next time. But I think that's a really great idea, this idea of shared curiosity, and how can we get there.
And I think there is something about a tension, I think, between the idea of, you know, modeling and showing, you know, in the kind of way that we've talked about. But also, if you remember the tweet that I just quoted from Alan, he also started it with, "What I say does not matter." So there is also a sense of equality in this shared curiosity. Yeah. We are all exploring, we're all unpacking, and I think that is something that enables us all to share in an environment where we can trust that we just have a go and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And just before we're just about hitting the line, and just looking here for a wee snippet, a quote that Rochelle sent for me, and it's from Brown and Katz, Change by Design: How Design Thinking Transforms Organizations and Inspires Innovation. And the quote is, "We need to invent a new and radical form of collaboration. It's not about us versus them, or even us on behalf of them. It has to be us with them." And that seems to me about what we're talking about tonight, about this idea of the shared curiosity, that there is an element of the people who are leading the course are eating their own dog food, they're taking part in the course. You think?
That's lovely. You have a way with what you do, well, John. they're eating their dog
food. it's the quote is straight from Rochelle from Brown and Katz. Anyway, I'm just going to play out on
digital identity, who we are on the web, who holds our data, the new flesh, to graph this new flesh. The computer screen has become the retina of the mind's eye, and reality is less than the network. The time has now come to reclaim that control and embody the new flesh of the web.
The DS-106 Good Spell in 106 Bullets on DS-106 Radio for life.